Thank you. Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad to have all of you worshiping with us this evening as we celebrate the coming of God to us in Jesus Christ. A special welcome if you are a visitor or a guest, if you're traveling from out of town, we are glad you're here worshiping with us. If at any time you'd like to know more about our church or to give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card found in the seat rack in front of you. You can put that in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Let us begin our worship by celebrating the presence of God among us in Jesus Christ. We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Those who dwelled in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Let us worship God.
Please stand for the call to worship. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
Lord to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.
And let us pray.
Gracious God, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, you show us the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Give us the good news of his coming, our hope and joy, that we might sing with angels and worship with shepherds and find our life lying in a manger. All praise to you, Father, Son, and Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. God of grace and truth, in Jesus Christ, you came among us as a light shining in darkness. We confess that we have not welcomed the light or trusted good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope, so that we may receive the fullness of your grace and live in the truth of Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, tell your story to us as you spoke your word into creation, that you would be born in us. We pray through the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Listen for God's word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. It's the beginning of the Christmas story, and before there are angels or shepherds, there's simply two people on their way to Bethlehem delivering this unknown child. The child is as anonymous as a misnumbered hymn in a bulletin. We don't even know his name in the story. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, listen for God's word to you. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Like I said, Jesus' birth is anonymous. Our story tonight names two parents, a distant ancestor, two Roman political officials, but not the name of the baby born in Bethlehem. The story mentions two villages, anonymous in two regions, but not the name of the child. Of course, we know the name. That's why we're here. It was announced to Mary at the beginning of the gospel and then again to shepherds keeping watch over their fields by night. And in places like this, the child is named Jesus, Son of David, Savior, Messiah, the one who will save the people from their sins. This is the cosmic Jesus, the Word made flesh, the imprint of God's very being. In Philippians, Paul says of this Jesus that God will exalt him, that every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's a lot to put on a child who won't do much for the next 6 months but cry and nurse and sleep. All we hear of him tonight is that he's swaddled and laid down, as all children are. Cosmically powerful, yet immediately vulnerable. Universal, yet unknown. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. A sleeping baby in the arms of a mother's love. Might do better to quote another couple of verses from Philippians, as Paul describes Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Human likeness here meaning birth in a stable, as there was no room in the inn, born to poor parents who were on the road to go pay taxes to a powerful emperor who will never know their names. It's a human story. So the anonymity is no accident, at least not for Luke. Earlier in the story, in receiving the news of Jesus' birth, Mary sings to God that God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This is always Luke's comparison, the way he tells this story. It's the way of the powerful against the way of the weak, the way of the rich against the way of the poor, the way of the famous against the way of the unknown, the way of the emperor against the way of God. So we might read Luke's story tonight as a kind of comparison. It begins with an imperial decree. The world, the known world, is to be counted for a census, which will grow the tax digest and fatten the emperor's pockets. This emperor is Augustus, the first Roman emperor, known as the one who brought the peace of Rome through a series of dramatic conquests and political events and reforms. And Augustus may not seem like a particularly relevant figure to you in your life today. Although it was revealed earlier this year that he claims one admirer in the person of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. Said Zuckerberg, basically through a really harsh approach, the Emperor Augustus established 200 years of world peace. What are the trade-offs in that? On the one hand, world peace is a long-term goal that people talk about today that didn't come for free, and he had to do certain things. A lot hangs on those words, certain things. For Augustus, some of those certain things included an outsized statement of self-importance. He named himself a god and then conveniently named himself high priest, so he was in charge of worshiping that god. No real clearer expression of self-worship than that. And so many did worship Augustus and all he represented, including Quirinius, named by Luke as governor of Syria at the time of Jesus' birth. Quirinius was a notable Roman from a good family, a successful military leader, a servant of the emperor. The Roman historian Tacitus held him out as like a Horatio Alger sort of aspirational figure for the Roman people. This is what your life is meant to look like. A good servant of the state, he enforces the emperor's decree. This is the world into which Jesus was born. It's important enough that Luke spends a few verses at the beginning of the story on this arrangement and only one quick verse at the end on the birth of Jesus, presumably the reason we're here tonight. The exercise of imperial power sets things into motion. Mary and Joseph, far from home, two of the many who owe their loyalty and their money to the emperor. And this is the world we know too. The world that works for the rich at the expense of the poor. The world that worships effort and noise, power and fame. It's the world that says, if only we work hard enough or fight hard enough or do more or make more or earn more, we might have the life of a Quirinius or an Augustus, as if that's what we were made to do. It's the world of Augustus that turns into self-worship. We all know this world. We live in it. It's the world into which Jesus was born. So this is the world that God rejects in the strongest terms possible. God doesn't deign to play the power politics of empire. Instead, God becomes vulnerable in the world, identifying with people desperate for hope or real peace or a vision of creation as it was meant to be. God comes as a child to show us, we who aspire to work and become our own gods, to us, God says, it's enough to be human. It's the work of a lifetime, even God's lifetime. We see this in the way Luke tells the story. What starts with a faraway emperor exerting all the power he can passes over a middleman and then into the real lives of people like Mary and Joseph, who have to travel far from home even though Mary is late and pregnant and has to come along on the trip. And all of a sudden the characters in the story have names. And there's a story like the story you might have heard around your birth or your children's birth, where there was no room in the inn. They went to every place in town and knocked on every door. And meanwhile, the time is getting closer and it's a mad scramble. And finally, they find this place, which was a stable, probably the lower floor of a house. Just think about your garage. And that's where Jesus comes into the world. And they didn't have anything there, except for a few strips of cloth and a trough full of animal food, and that was enough for God. The story moves from a distant decree to the real stuff of our lives, because that's where God in Christ is born. Not for the sake of money or power or politics or force or human greatness, but for love and community, hope and peace, human goodness. That's why we're here. It's the meaning and the purpose we're looking for. It's that who you are as flesh and blood is enough. Worshiping a God whose deepest delight is to come closer to you. You can reach out and touch God in the person next to you, a member of the body of Christ. You can look around the room and see those who are made in the image of God. You can hear God in the way we talk and preach and read or sing. You can taste God in the bread and wine on the table here. It's enough to remember, as we do tonight, that God became one of us, as real, as solid, as vulnerable as any person in this room, as any child crying in the nursery. Said one early churchman, God became like us so that we might become like God. And thanks be to God, that looks like Jesus, born tonight in Bethlehem. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to the word of God, let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us worship God with our gifts. May be seated. And Jesus Christ, our searching is over. We have no farther to look for God, but God comes to us as one of us and invites to meet us here at this table. So come all you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus Christ is here for you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Holy God, you created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and called us to love and serve you. When we were unfaithful and turned from your ways, you did not forsake us. Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and sent prophets to call us back to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. In him, your word, dwelling with you from all eternity, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld your glory, Emmanuel. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the celestial choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born in humility, he came to rule over all. Helpless as an infant, he showed the power of your love. Poor in the things of the world, he bought the wealth of your grace. Rejected by many, he welcomed all who sought him. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. Called in Christ, fed by his grace, joined in his body, we remember those we have been called to serve. For the poor and the hungry, come, Lord Jesus. For the sick and the suffering, come, Lord Jesus. For the abused and oppressed, come, Lord Jesus. For the doubting and dispirited, come, Lord Jesus. For your creation which cries for you, come, Lord Jesus. For your church that awaits your presence, come, Lord Jesus. Hear our prayer, Lord, and as this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Empower us by your Spirit to be joined in Christ's presence in the world, even as he is God with us. Give us courage to speak his truth, to seek his justice, and to love with his love. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. After giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Drink of it, all of you. So often, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. All is ready. We invite you to come forward as you feel called. You may return down the aisle from which you came. The feast is ready. Taste and see that the Lord is good.